morning, everyone. Welcome to our roundtable, Sunday, September 13th, 2015. Our topic today is substance. I'm going to ask Florence to start today. She made a list of claims to handle during a watch. And so maybe, Florence, you could give some of those claims. Many of you, I'm so delighted to see you all signing up for those individual watches. And some of you have asked what needs to be handled. What Florence is going to give us, you know, you don't handle all of this every day, but keep it in mind as important. There are certain things definitely every day, and as I've said, weather is one of them, but sort of things that come to you. And as we watch all the time, as we talked about yesterday, after really a wonderful Bible study, thank you, Tom, as we watch constantly, there's always opportunities to know the right thought about a false claim. And so very important that we be ready, minute men and women, as Mrs. Eddy says. So Florence, you want to mention some of your list?
Yes, I think, well, you said the weather, which is what Mrs. Eddy always asks them to handle every day. But I feel Mrs. Eddy's place. This is, I'm just going to just read the list. And okay, Mrs. Eddy's place is one of them, that she is the founder and the discoverer of science, Christian Science, and this is will be accepted by the whole world.
Highly important, as we emphasized last week, highly important. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that Christian Science, as given to the world through science and health, is also receptive to everyone, everywhere.
Thank you.
She did say that when this time comes where materia medica seems so organized and, you know, really its claims are dominating everywhere, that it is science and health that we need to, make it our effort, or through our demonstrations, give it to the world. It is what answers every problem. So we work to know that nothing is against this truth, that science and health is what is to heal all the world's problems. We have to handle violence in communities and even in homes. We've seen it on the news. We work to know that the politicians are not personalities but individualities of God. Because sometimes you can get quite a reaction from what some of them are saying, I have to watch that myself, to know that, no, this is not people, it's not persons, but handle the error. Poverty and hunger, all over the news we see it. That man is displaced. Can man be displaced? God's man.
And in that, man's killing refugees and homeless and all of those things.
And then I think there's so many errors about man, the true man, that is all over, you know, the claims of your heritage and your race and, you know, you're sinful and all those things. Greed and selfishness. Sensuality, I think, is another one that is claiming its false domain on people everywhere. You know, these sex trafficking, all kinds of things on the internet and everything. Disunity in families, in churches. And, of course, fear everywhere. False appetites in the many different forms that they show. And I think think we've already answered the poverty, which is, and this false sense of prosperity. I think we see it in the churches being preached that material prosperity. You know, there are churches who just singly are going after this, you know, educating people about prosperity, but it's all material sense of it. And then, of course, the news, whatever comes on the news that, you know it's not the truth, we handle the educational system, economic system. And, of course, to know that Christianity, none other than through the Christ, is where we find the truth. So we handle Roman Catholicism, all the other isms and the ologies that go with it. Racial discrimination. God's word that all nations have one Father, and that's all. Of course, world safety. You know, this sense of terror, fear, you know, creating fear, what's going to happen, the end times, this and this, all of those things. And I think the end of my list is that there's only one power, of course, and Christ will rule all nations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. A very complete treatment going down that list. We'll put that list on the website. I'm not sure if Jeremy's done that yet, but the individual watching. And it also might be in our next newsletter. Jim is also going to, he's already formed what Mrs. Eddy says to handle daily and watches the prayers and arguments. In that case, what he's asking Mrs. Eddy's thing, telling her students to handle daily, is more perhaps for yourself, you know, like the belief of age, the belief of accidents, all those things that need to be handled in your morning watch for yourself, and of course for everyone everywhere. Does anyone have any questions or want to say anything else?
I just want to say something.
Okay,
hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much, Florence. That was wonderful selection of topic. But I just want to ask something about what Florence said about Catholic. It just hit me when she said that about the visit of Pope to the U.S. I don't know if any of you have been listening to the news. It's been all over the news. And I'm sure from next week, it's going to be more on the news until the day he comes. I just want to ask every one of us to make sure that we are handling that this way, because people is going to be taken off track. A lot of people will forget that God is the only one that, God is in charge of everyone, not the Pope, and everyone has direct access to go to God and ask God whatever they want to ask God. So that's the short. I just want to put out there.
Thank you.
This is the seat of the Pope.
Yeah, Shardy and Linda actually alerted us to that a few weeks ago. We did have a specific watch on it, and we continue. It is something to handle daily, but certainly now. And we thought perhaps even Wednesday night when our testimony meeting was slow, we seemed like it was going to end at 9 o'clock, that it needs to be handled. It is not people. It is not people at all. But it is a system. And the system, as Benjamin mentioned, you can't go directly to God. You have to have an intercessory. If you're not of that religion, you are in damnation and going to hell. All of those things that need to be known for their utter nothingness. But we love all people, and we make that very clear. We love all people. Mrs. Eddy has made it very clear, including Catholics, but it is a system, an ism, as Florence said. And yes, definitely, Linda, do you want to speak to it? Do you know the schedule? It's the 25th or something?
Well, he's coming out to Washington, D.C. first, the 22nd, and then he moves on to New York City around the 20, 4th, 5th, and then he's going to be in Philadelphia for the next 2 days of that, the 26th and 7th. There's also a worldwide meeting in Philadelphia, family, which is a meeting of the Catholic people to help families. And so there's going to be a lot of people converging in the area at that time. And I think even besides handling Roman Catholicism, you would also just handle the belief of congestion and chaos and disruption that it seems to, I've even looked at it as a sense of a threat of a storm coming, because there's a lot of fears for the police and rescues, and a lot of people have to change their plans or shutting down trains, and so it's going to change a lot of activity for some people also. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Thank you. So, again, not people, but it's
also political, by the way. There's a lot of political unrest because he's going to address the United Nations in New York and the Congress, both Congress, the House, and the Senate in Washington, and there's a lot of unrest there.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Well, I might add that this sense of you can't go to God but through a person, it's not just the Roman Catholic. It's also a lot of pastors all over, preach this, oh, you got to come to me. I actually had someone arguing with me. I stopped because we don't argue, that are you telling me I can go to God to ask what I need without going through my pastor? This is beliefs that are out there. So when we work with that, we can know God and man alone.
Thank you. These are all the old theology beliefs, and you will come under them unless you are aware of them and are working. And if you want to know more, you can read Bignell Young, who's written quite a bit on Romanism. So something we need to be very alert to, and something that needs to be handled every day. We have been told they work on us every day, so you better darn well protect your mentality. And no, as we said yesterday in from Law of Right Feeling, no connection. Can't get in, can't invade our thinking, can't make us dopey or sleepy or take us off track, can't make us fearful, can't make us start thinking those things with whatever, condemnation, hell, some of the other beliefs, guilt. You feel those things, you handle it. Not your thought, not from God. And you destroy it. Anyone else? Thank you, Juan. Anyone else on the list or on watching?
I just wanted to say how grateful I am that Florence did this. Thank you, Florence. Very helpful.
You're welcome.
I have a question. Is this what would handle also? In reference to last night's watch during a Bible studies and the sermons, etc.
What was the question?
What's the question?
Well, what I'm trying to last night there the watch was about making sure that we're praying and watching during services and Bible studies, etc. So I'm just curious if this is also what we would be doing during those.
Well, go ahead.
No, this is just a list of things that we need to, the claims out there that we need to be watching against. So it's not to do all of it at once. Is that what you're saying? Like if we do a watch in the night to do all this too? Is that your question?
No. No, I'm sorry. My question is if this applies a certain point of these during the sermons and services.
Well,
because,
the answer to your question is no. When we watch for and during our services, the work we do is to clear the way for the word to be received by new people, and we want to attract new people. And so we handle the resistance to the truth that is prevalent in the world that would enslave people and prevent people from finding Christian Science, from hearing Christian Science, from accepting Christian Science. That's the work that we do before and during our services.
Great. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Highly important. And as Florence was saying about science and health, we were taught here the Bible is much more readily accepted when it is read on our Sunday service. But science and health is sometimes resisted, and that's where we really need to know that it's the truth. It's easy to understand. Everyone can understand it and be healed by it. And as we do this work, tremendous things happen. And it blesses certainly all of us, our congregation, new people, and it goes out in a continual blessing. And these services are recorded in archives. People listen to them later on. And therefore, the prayer is before, during, and after. And certainly our Tuesdays and Saturdays Unity Watches are aimed for this important work.
For example, when Albert Einstein started attending Christian Science churches in Princeton and reading the Christian Science textbook, he told people, he said, if you but knew what was in this book, he said, this is the pure science. He got it. But he also said that the book was ahead of its time. And that's a belief that we need to handle. It's not ahead of its time. God has given Christian Science to the world at a time when the world is ready for it. And we need to declare that it's not ahead of its time. It is at the right time. So it's beliefs like that that we handle before and during our services.
And after.
And I'd also like to say thanks to Florence for one thing that she mentioned, that Mrs. Eddy's place be recognized, acknowledged, and appreciated. After reading the biography of her, it seemed like one thing after another was trying to take her out of her place. And even today, you know, I know one of the things that Mrs. Eddy says, that there'll be others that will want to seek and find her. And then she goes on to say, they'll find me through my writings. She left us a precious gift, Science and Health and her other published writings and everything else, as she said. It's the way.
I think for that, I think our prayer should also go to that if you declare yourself a Christian Science, you yourself know where her place is. Because if we are not accepting it fully, what she is, what she came to do, what she's giving the world, then, you know, I don't think we can even practice the science.
That's exactly right, Florence. And that is one of the things that has infiltrated the Boston organization. People within the organization and a large number of people within the organization do not appreciate what Mrs. Eddy did and what she stood for. She herself said, you can't be a Christian Scientist unless you appreciate my life.
And, you know, we have proof of this, as we've talked about, in how they did everything, and it's not people, animal magnetism, to destroy the carpenters and the carpenters' books. Because those in particular explain Mrs. Eddy and how she demonstrated science. Everything was done to keep it from us. Animal magnetism calling itself at that time, the BOD at that time. And you know, what's so astounding, or maybe not so astounding, but a lot of these people had originally, they've been really good workers that she trusted. But after she passed, all hell broke loose, and before she passed. So we hold our heads low in humility as we do this work and know, be grateful that there were those who went before us that did give us so much and who sacrificed so much. And it's very little that we're being asked to do. We must do it with our whole hearts and souls and minds, or be held accountable for it not being done, as she says.
Now, I may be going out on a limb here, but I'm confident this is so, that Mrs. Eddy's place was something that was divinely anointed. I think back on some events in her life that proved that she didn't seek it out or choose it for herself. It was a divine activity. Thinking about the voices that she heard when she was a young kid, she didn't manipulate that. No way, nobody could have. Later on in life, she was offered a home. If she would just abandon this crazy idea, she couldn't possibly leave it, even though she was in poor conditions humanly at the time. She couldn't abandon it, just couldn't do it. This was a divine anointing.
Thank you. You know, recently, we have on the wall of our church, it's encased in a glass box, but it is a spoon that Mrs. Eddy had authorized, I believe it was in the year 1899, and on it, it has the words, "Mind satisfieth, matter does not," goes along with this lesson. I think it has a picture of Pleasant View and also a little picture of her. It's silver spoons, and she had, at that time, she'd asked that any Christian Scientist that could afford it should buy one. And if you could afford 12, you should buy them. And she said, just as a reminder, even at the dinner table when you're eating, that it is mind that satisfies, matter does not. When you think of that, probably solve all the weight problems. Anyway, and she once said, too, that she could no more not say grace at the dinner table. I mean, she was raised to do that, to give glory and thanks to God when she sat down to eat a meal. So anyway, in researching, because I had forgotten about these spoons, and I know occasionally a visitor in our church will ask about them, so I Googled it. Well, I could come up with some of the facts, but there were also these websites, and they were totally devoted to the fact that Mrs. Eddy was this greedy woman, and that she was selling these spoons to make money. Actually, she didn't get any money from the spoons. It went to the company that made them. But I say this because of the way the facts are twisted about her to discredit her any chance people get. And as I said, a book that I like, I liked reading, but it has two pages that would totally discredit Christian Science. That's The Boys in the Boat. And this was a New York bestseller for weeks. So it goes out there, and all these people are reading this and forming a wrong sense of Mrs. Eddy and of her science. This is what we are handling and combating. And it might sound overwhelming, but it's not, because ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. All you need to know, the truth stands. All this other stuff are lies and misconceptions. They have no source. They have no power. They have no substance, they have no cause, they have no law, and they fall by their own weight. But we need to know it. Okay, who would like to read our golden text from Malachi?
I will.
Thank you.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Thank you. Comments on that?
Well, when I thought about that first part about bringing all the tithes, it's the whole tithe, not partial. And, God is not served with partial service. You have to give to him wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Anyone else? And as we spoke about yesterday, monetary, yes, those tithes, but also the tithing of many other things, and certainly your time. Your time, and you can ask yourself, how much time do you spend with God, thinking about God, praying, reading the things about God, thanking God for His goodness? How much time do you spend, or how much time is it on other activities and pursuits? Only you can answer those questions. To pray without ceasing means what?
Don't stop.
That's right. You know, you're always thinking something, so why not turn it back to the Father?
Be always aware of His loving presence.
Yes.
And always willing to be obedient. And what is the meat in mine house? Must be important. What is it that sustains us, that feeds us, that cares for us?
God. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Okay, well, that's interesting, but what does that mean to you?
Makes me think of the milk and the meat. The meat is the understanding of God, the living of God's word.
It's the truth. The truth. Isn't that what we're striving for, is to know the truth? And how much of the truth do you share with others? How do we do that? Well, we've got a website. We've got a forum on the website. We've got a magazine. We've got articles in the magazine. Every time you contribute something to the forum, every time you write an article for the magazine,
every time you give a testimony.
Exactly. You are tithing. You are sharing the truth in God's house. God rewards that.
Another thing that came to me, the meat is that which stands when the opposition comes along. In order to have that strength to stand when the opposition comes, you need to be doing the tithing. In other words, you have to be active in the truth. Otherwise, if you're not, it's one thing to just know the truth and not be active in it, but you get blown away.
It is. It's what people say when it's all words to them. It's all words. Well, it's all words because you're not living it. And what Carol said is true, the difference between the milk and the meat. The meat is the understanding and the doing it. You get the milk for a while as a babe, but then you've got to rise up, take the meat, and assimilate the meat and become it. It's the bread of life, which is the word of God.
That's when you make it your own. And you help, you develop a strong relationship with God.
And I love in Isaiah, and if thou draw out the soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Your giving, which you've received, then you get back a tremendous amount. That flow we talked about. Flowing like a river from God to you to others. What does it mean to have your expectation from Him?
Good expectations for all things.
Yes. Linda, could you bring up your, it was from last week, at the end you wrote about pessimism and whatever. Anyway, you gave some definitions that I thought were fascinating. Oh, sarcasm. or if anybody can. They were on the forum. Are you there, Linda?
Anybody remember?
Sorry, I was on mute. I am looking at the forum and for
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you. It was a good reminder of what you get into when you're not tithing, so to speak, when you're not declaring your oneness with God and you let your thoughts drop.
All right, I have the definitions.
Okay,
for,
go ahead.
Pessimism, it was a tendency to stress the negative or unfavorable and take the gloomiest possible view. The doctrine or belief that this is the worst of all possible worlds and that ultimately tend toward evil. The doctrine or belief that evil in the world outweighs good. And sarcasm really was venting rage or using irony to mock or convey contempt.
Thank you. Now, that pessimism is not having your expectation from the Lord, is it? It's rather shocking, the description of it. I don't know if you've ever been in the spirit and feeling grateful and happy, and you're with someone who will say some negative thing. It is like having a wet blanket thrown all on everything. It's
offensive.
It is. It's very offensive. And so guard your thought and your mouth, too, to make sure that you're not always looking for what's wrong. The human mind always looks for what's wrong, finds it. Absolutely, they'll find it. You can be in the most ideal situation, and that human mind will find something wrong.
And what do you do if you find yourself in the company of someone or a group who insists upon that everything is wrong and insists upon listing everything that's wrong?
Yeah. You better not stay with that company very long or go back to it again.
Right. You have to
answer. As wise as the serpent, run.
Yeah, right. That was that good definition. That was Sana, right, that gave us that about serpent knows you how to get out of a situation fast.
Yeah, Mrs. Eddy's instruction is very clear on that, isn't it? Never enter an immoral atmosphere or breathe an immoral atmosphere unless what?
And you attempt to purify it.
Right.
Can't be harmed for trying to purify it. But if it refuses to be purified...
And sometimes it does. Sometimes it's quite insistent. And you depart.
What if you can't depart?
What if you can't?
Oh, you always can.
I can't. Yeah.
God will provide a way. You don't have to outline how you depart. But God will provide a way. I know when I was, I had a job once that was just always conflicting with what I needed to do for work, for church, and was always, putting things in my way of doing the stuff I wanted to do and needed to do for God. And I was just torn. But I held in thought, God, whatever I have to do, I will do. And God removed me from that position and found another one, which was much better for me. So sometimes you have to be patient. It might not happen right away.
But we also have to be very sincere in our desire for God's will to be done. Sometimes we may say yes, oh, this and that. But in there somewhere, we have outlined our own what we want. And so, the sincerity, Father, thy will, and mean it.
Thank you, Florence.
Yeah,
because if you don't have that, your prayers mean nothing. You can say a lot, and you can profess a lot, and you can profess in front of other people, but let's see how consistent you are.
But if you've got some other desires that are influencing you, then it's like sitting on a fence, isn't it? You've got 1 foot in one camp and 1 foot in the other. People who sit on a fence don't have a happy ending.
One thing I meant to mention, too, occasionally in Gary's testimony, he talks about working for God and then work, going to work. There's no dualism. Whether you're at work or whether you're proofing a lesson, all of it should be working for God. There's not a time that you work for God and then there's a time you don't. I want to make sure that's very clear because I've thought a few times in his testimonies, it doesn't sound that way. It sounds like he works for God and then he goes to work and who knows what he does. So I want to make it perfectly clear. That's not the...
Thank you. That's a very important point that I should not assume everybody understands.
Okay.
Exactly. Everything we do should be for God. Otherwise, why bother?
And now to get back to what Florence is talking about, this definition of substance that I found in precepts, matter in the final analysis is human will. Substance is the will of God made manifest. It goes on. But, I mean, that's an astounding definition. And it's Mrs. Eddy. Matter is human will. And substance is the will of God made manifest. So, what Florence just said, say it again, Florence, about your sincerity. Your earnestness in praying. Might be amazing.
Now, if we want to do the will of God, we better really mean it.
Yeah. If you want to do the will of God, your earnestness must be there. And if it is, it will be made manifest in substance, spiritual substance. And Carol, what did you say on the forum about that? And Florence did too, about the definition of substance and capable of discord and decay. And
yeah, that it, a true substance doesn't fluctuate like the markets, and it's steady, steady and sure, and it's from God, and it's solid.
Yes. And Florence?
I forget what I wrote.
I have it here if you want me to read it.
Yeah, read it, please, both of them.
All right, so Carol says, as God is my substance and man is the divine image and likeness, man should wish for and reality has only the substance of good, the substance of spirit, not matter. The substance of spirit is not subject to market fluctuations, nor fear that it will not be enough or will run out, and it's always available. Being spirit, true substance cannot break down, wear out, or deteriorate, but exhibits all the beauty and grandeur of God forever. And then Florence was commenting on the that man is a divine image and likeness and has only the substance of good. She says, this citation should be in my heart constantly so that I can ask myself, what am I made of? And be able to confidently answer with spiritual substance. If spiritual, then pain has no place in me. I cannot lack since spiritual substance is inexhaustible. Worry, depression, fear are all negated in spirit. Hence, in this spiritual substance, I find my completeness, fulfillment, and perfection. It is good to accept and to know what I am made of.
Beautiful. That is beautiful. And I know people sometimes wrestle with what they think substance is, and all of these are just beautiful definitions. Think of it. You know, I love, Mrs. Eddy says, it's an unity of good, and you use it. There are many ways to use it, but she says, this false sense of substance must yield to his eternal presence and so dissolve. This false sense of substance, if you have lack, if you have a belief of cancer, if you have a belief of abuse, if you have a belief of pain, this false sense of substance must yield to his eternal presence and so dissolve. any of those instances are a false sense of substance, and what Carol and Florence just read, or gave on the forum, is this right sense of what it really is. Ms. Florence says to think about it. Think about it often. That negates all this other stuff that's all around that's telling you otherwise.
Isn't that part of our gratitude? I mean, really, if we are knowing this truth that we are spiritual, this is the truth is given us. So if we are really grateful for it, then we will be thinking this most of the time. That's part of the gratitude. Gratitude in action, I think you said. It's not just words, but it's the action. But
thank you. So we will have our expectation in God. We won't be the gloomy pessimist. That's such a horrible definition. Oh, my God.
Well, and yeah, it gets aggressive and it creeps in, doesn't it?
Yes. What got me was the word doctrine of evil, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, you're believing in a power apart from God, so therefore you are believing in faith. So it's shocking to wake people up not to go there. And it was good, you know, Linda found at work that she was doing some things and someone else pointed it out. And so that's humble admission. And when you can humbly admit it, then you can correct it. If you say, oh, no, 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 I never do that, I'm perfect. Well, then you never correct anything, and you don't grow. So what does it mean to cast your bread upon the waters?
I've wondered that all week.
I read something I really loved. Show hospitality, even though the corresponding return of hospitality to you may seem improbable. Nevertheless, be hospitable in faith.
I believe it says share the truth with anybody that is receptive.
Say that again.
Sorry. Share the truth with anyone who is receptive.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Those are good answers.
Matthew Henry said, give freely. If by charity we trust God with what we have, we put it into good hands against bad times.
Thank you.
I think it's also referring to how we think, you know, what we're thinking about others. It's not probably not just the giving of something, but the thought about people.
Yes, absolutely. How we're thinking of others, that's casting your bread. Are you thinking the right things or the wrong? And when you do that, what happens?
See the results of it in your experience.
Yes.
It helps them.
Pardon me?
It helps them when you hold the right thought.
Yes, absolutely. But what's the rest of the sentence?
For thou shalt find it after many days. What's that a picture of? What is that saying?
Picture of having your expectation of God.
I think it's
been good.
It is more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah.
You find a blessing, you find a blessing.
Yes. Willie said it's never lost. Someone else is saying something.
Well, there's a common saying, what goes around comes around. If you do good and send out good, you're sure to get good back.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. You can even picture it. You throw your bread out in the water and suddenly it's coming back to you.
That's what I was thinking.
You reap what you sow. When you cast your bread, even though you think you might not have the bread, you cast it out, whether it's giving in some way to someone or whether it's just right thinking to someone, thinking rightly about someone, it will come back and bless you. These are the biblical rules. Scientific rules.
also says elsewhere in the responsive reading that God rewards according to your labors. So,
yes.
Trust him with a reward.
And that's been throughout this lesson. We trust him with a reward. And if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. You know, we have seen it so often with Christian Scientists. They get their healing, they get their pocketbook filled, and what happens?
Forget God.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. Those replace God.
They do.
They become enamored with the outward result. They forget the cause.
And it comes all so naturally. There's someone here that we've loved very much. He had a wonderful healing and good things were happening. And suddenly he gets consumed with work. All this work, 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 work. So we don't see him anymore. It happens. And sometimes you scratch your head and wonder why. And this is the why we go back to the good seed. That no matter what, the good soil, it stays, it keeps, it never forgets the source of the good. You know, I'm sure that's basically what happened to Job. He had so much and he forgot God, although he thought he didn't, but he was a good person, he didn't. So, he had to lose it all again. Hopefully, he learned his lesson. You know, you have these warning signs. Listen to them. Listen to them while they're gentle warning signs. Don't wait until some big catastrophe happens. Because it will.
Why the tithing is a rule.
Thank you.
And the reason it works, I mean, it's a statement of divine law, isn't it? That as you give the love that God gives you, as you give it to others, however God directs, he keeps providing it to you. And it's infinite, so you're never going to go without.
We're going to end, it's almost the end of the session time, but I'd like to go to questions and answers because the question and answer relates to all that we've been talking about. It's on page 35, in the middle, starting with line 15. Who would like to read the question and the answer before we end?
I can read it.
Thank you.
Will the book Science and Health that you offer for sale at $3 teach its readers to heal the sick? Or is one obliged to become a student under your personal instruction? And if one is obliged to study under you, of what benefit is your book? Why do we read the Bible and then go to church to hear it expounded? Only because both are important. Why do we read moral science and then study it at college? You are benefited by reading Science and Health. But it is greatly to your advantage to be taught its science by the author of that work, who explains it in detail.
Thank you. Now, of course, the author of that work isn't with us exactly, but we all pray to be in that spirit. And it is why we keep doing what we're doing, why we have continual roundtables and the instruction. We read, we pray, we work on our own, and then we come together to share, to bring the tithes into the storehouse, whether it's at the roundtable forum during the week or Wednesday testimony meetings. We keep it flowing. And in doing that, our sense of substance increases. So we will work now. We know how to work for a good service. And knowing it goes out to bless all mankind. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.